And welcome to another episode of the Quotes and Mirrors podcast. I am Terrell James.
Good morning. I am Uncommentary. How y'all doing out there?
We're doing great.
Yeah? Way over there, where you at? What's that?
What? I was speaking for the people.
Okay. All right. We can't have a breaking conversation while we just talking to each other. All right. We're going to have to flow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 7.
Yeah,
all right. All right, quotes and mirrors, quotes and mirrors. What we do here, we are going to go ahead and grab a quote. We're going to take it apart. We're going to spin it around. We're going to flip it upside down. That wasn't supposed to rhyme, but I'm nice. So just and we're going to just see where it came from, where it's going, that type of thing. We hope that you all enjoy the show and have been enjoying the show, by the way, for the past 6 episodes. I got to keep saying that number so I can remember, right?
The only reason that I can even remember is because I'm numbering the episodes when I set them up. If it wasn't that, I wouldn't.
Okay. Well, maybe I should just be writing them down with the numbers. You know what I mean? With the quote and number. And then also maybe so that we don't double back over anything. You know what I mean? I mean, it's both of us. It's 2 of us, so we got checks and balances. So I think it's a pretty low possibility of that. But just in case. At any rate, I need some type of something to help me keep track of the show. So anyway, we can't have that conversation every day or every time. All right. So are you ready to get into this one?
I'm ready, man.
Okay, so this is a quote from pastor by the name of Craig Groeschel. I do hope that I am not mispronouncing his name. He's actually the pastor of Life Church. They got like churches in like 10 different states. It's a pretty huge conversation. I mean, congregation, pretty huge congregation. Excuse me, he's written a couple of books. In reference to kind of where this quote actually comes from, because he talks about mastering the mind and your thoughts and things of that nature. And this morning, the quote is, your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. Now, when I heard this, it wasn't because I happened to be watching Pastor Craig. I was actually looking at Instagram and somebody else was saying, yo, and it was funny because he was like on Instagram saying, yo, some of the coldest ish I ever heard. And then he said this quote by a pastor. Right. So, but when he said it, I was like, yo, that is so crazy to think about it, because obviously you hear it in a couple of different ways where people say, I think I've heard the phrase, so a man thinketh he is, or something along those lines, and just about how your subconscious, you know, will drive you and will push you. But I never heard it in this phrase. And this is, you know, I'm sure you experienced a situation where somebody will say something to you, and you'll hear the same thing maybe years later or just later from another person, but it just didn't. It resonates then, but it didn't resonate the first time. Mm-hmm. And whether it be that you just weren't in the place for that seed to be planted, whatever. But I've heard variations of this, but it wasn't until I heard it this way that it really carried the most weight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I begin to think about it, like, it's because he says your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. And when he says your life, that kind of makes you think big picture, right? Mm-hmm. But I started thinking about day to day. You know what I mean? Like just kind of day to day and moment to moment, whatever is on my mind, the strongest is what I'm motivated to do in that moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy to me because it makes you think about it. Like it makes me put some conscious effort into what is going to be my strongest thought.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what you think about that?
Man, when you first mentioned this quote to me, man, the first thing that came to my mind is funny. You brought up As a Man Thinketh, the book by James Allen, As a Man Thinketh.
Oh, okay.
It actually took me back to a few of the books that I've read. So that book, it took me back to The Secret. It took me back to Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. It took me back to Who Moved My Cheese.
you read all of these, huh?
Yeah, I got them right all over there on that bookshelf right there. I got them.
All right, no problem. Constantly showing off. Go ahead.
But you know, the funny thing is, you know, for me, the part of the reason that I have these books, and I've had them for years. Mm-hmm. A lot of this goes back to the things that I went through growing up without going into all the details. Of course, you know the story. Mm-hmm. Well, listeners don't need to necessarily know the whole story.
But, we can tell them later.
Right, yeah, if it goes there. So, but just growing up, dealing with depression, dealing with paranoia, dealing with, and then even at this point, dealing with the PTSD,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with anxiety and all of the different things that it's a long list. I ain't trying to go through the whole list of things.
Right.
But you know, just going through all of those things, a lot of that had to do with it put me in a place of trying to figure out where I was headed and why mm-hmm. I was where I was. So okay. I would start getting books. I started studying psychology on my own, not in a formal institution. I was studying psychology on my mm-hmm. own. And part of the reason that I wanted to study, I started studying psychology for two reasons. One, because I knew that I wanted to be a businessman and that I wanted to sell to people. I wanted to understand the way people thought so that I knew how to sell to them.
Okay.
But the other thing is I needed a better understanding of why I was going through the things that I was going through. And I needed to understand why I thought the way I thought and why I felt the way I felt.
Okay.
So I would pick up certain books, you know, and I would get things like this. And so when you said this, it made me realize, like, I tried to not necessarily to give pushback with this quote, but I just tried to figure out, you know me and my gray area. Figure out how to get into a gray area with this particular quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not able to. This is very black and white for me. Because as I thought about my life has always moved in the direction of my strongest thought.
Mm-hmm.
Back then when I was dealing with the depression consumed my mind.
Right.
My life always went in that direction until I found a bright spot and I was able to decide that it was time for me to create my way out of the depression or fight my way out of the depression, no matter what it was. At that moment, that became my strongest thought. And that's where my life would move.
Right.
I started thinking about the who moved the book, who moved my cheese. So right. With these rats, if you take rats and put them into a maze and you just put a piece of cheese wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
His thought is on that piece of cheese, so they make their way through that maze until they find that cheese, and you can move that cheese all around this maze, but their strong thought is always going to lead them to that cheese.
True.
So I was thinking, wow, it also makes you, when you look at it like this, when you just look at the quote, it's like, makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if you just stop right there at makes sense, then you're doing yourself a huge injustice, because now it should be what's next.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree.
Mm-hmm. So what else do I need to put into my mind to take my life into the direction that I need it to go?
Yeah. And see, in that situation, I think you definitely got to be honest with yourself. Like when you said that when you were depressed, that you're life was definitely moving in the way of that depression. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't on purpose. You hadn't decided to be depressed. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what a lot of times I think what you'll find as you dig into the situation is that you'll find that, hold on a second, you want to flip things so that you are deciding what your strongest thought is going to be, and then moving in that situation towards a particular outcome. But I think that what most people will find is that their strongest thought is a subconscious one. And because it's a subconscious one, they have to reverse engineer their life to say, okay, if this is where I am, let me think about, how did I get here? Why did I get here? You know what I mean? And then you will find out, okay, hold on a second. The truth is, my strongest thought is resentment for the absence of my father. You know what I mean? Or my strongest thought is disappointing my parents when I didn't walk the stage as you know, and when I graduated. My strongest thought is I seem to constantly be in a place of redemption. And what happens specifically for me, I don't know about for every other cat, but I think for me, and I think for husbands at the beginning of marriage, your strongest thought is to please your wife. And so you start making decisions and taking steps to please her, but it's not a big enough decision where it should be a situation where pleasing her is kind of comes along with taking care of her. That's one thing my father always taught me. You take care of a woman and that will please her. Mm-hmm. But if you only focus on pleasing her, then you will fall short of taking care of her. And so, because husbands, you get beat up all the time. You know what I mean? Because there's certain expectations, you know, that are placed on you, and not just in reference to being a husband, but my point is that you will find out that your strongest thought you were completely unaware of. You did not know what exactly was motivating you or what was pushing you in that direction. And so in this situation, another phrase my father said to me a long time ago is he talked about thought management. What do you mean? What do you mean thought management? And so, and he was talking about taking a second to think about what is happening and deciding, you know, what you're going to do with these feelings. So you may feel anger, you may feel pain, you may feel redemption, you may feel repair, all these things at the same time, but you have to put them in an order that allows you to build. You know what I mean? Because you have the materials that will allow you to build, but if you don't put them in the right order, you know what I'm saying? If you try to lay the cement and then dig a hole, that ain't gonna work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the thought management, I was like, that's right up there with emotional intelligence, which is a phrase that I hear. You know, and that's a new phrase to me. I'm like, I don't have a definition for emotional intelligence.
Look, I've been in therapy enough that I've heard that many times.
Dude, when I heard that, I was like, what? And it was the same thing again with thought management. But you realize that, okay, that's why you people have the affirmations and they have routines that they do in the morning. And that is thought management. And that is deciding what their strongest thought is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I guess ultimately what I'm saying is that your greatest weakness essentially can be that you're unaware of your strongest thought.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
that's powerful.
Dude, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And then when I think, I actually wanted to go back and I didn't get a chance to look at the message because when I looked this up on YouTube on Craig Rochelle, they had a clip where he was talking about this where he made this quote. And at that moment, I didn't have time to go look at the message, but I really want to look at the message and see how he actually parses it out. You know what I mean? Because it's crazy to me, man. Of course, I can go on forever on this. I'm sorry. I was running on a little bit. But it definitely opens up a whole new space when you get bowled over by the thought of what your strongest thought is doing to you. And then, like you said, you can't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to figure out how do I control this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think you're probably pretty good at that.
Yeah, but you know what though? I'm good at it because of how bad I was at it. Yo, it's funny you said. I've had people, you know, a lot of people, they come to me with their issues, and you know, I've done a lot of therapy for people.
And
I always base it off of the things that I've been through, and just, you know, being at the place where I am now, how much I've grown. But I've had just in talking, I can I can tell you over the past couple of years, there have been, I counted four different people that have said to me, like they will come and they'll ask me for advice and I will give them advice. And it may not be what they were either wanted to hear or what they were expecting.
Right.
And they may not listen. And they come back and they were like, four different people have said to me, why are you always right? And I said, because I've been wrong so many times. I've been so wrong so many times, you know. And so what it is now my, but the thing is, the way that ties into this quote is I was wrong in so many instances because that was my strongest thought, to go to what was wrong.
Okay.
And then because of growth, you know, maturation and wisdom, my strongest thought started to go to the things that were good rather than the things that were bad or the things that were right. And that's why I'm able to tell them what's right now, because, you know, part of it is because of the maturation. The other part is because I did it and I was wrong and I knew it was wrong. So now I can tell you what's right. You
know, right.
Consider what I did or what I am, you know. But the funny thing is, man, I started, as I really, really started thinking about this quote, and I thought about where my life went at certain points in my life, at certain times, and how I always ended up where my strongest thought was, even when, if you had asked me back then, I would tell you that that was not my strongest thought. But now, me being here and looking back, I can clearly see where it was my strongest thought. And every single time I ended up at that place where my strongest thought was. For instance, when I was actively pursuing a record deal, my strongest thought was lust. So I would do things a lot of times to impress women or to try to get a woman.
Okay.
And sometimes even through music, I would do it, right? I didn't get the record. Now, granted, I could have, and I turned some stuff down. I walked away from certain situations. However, there could have been more situations that I could have put myself into where I could have, so the right deal could have come along, or the right situation could have come along, and I would have been like, this is it, let's do it.
Right.
My strongest thought was lust, which means I always got the woman.
Right.
But I never got the success that I was trying to attain with music.
So now I'm curious about that, though. So lust, often, of course, is in reference to women.
Yeah,
but can lust being your strongest thought, is it possible to have lusted after that win, that music, that deal?
Yeah, but I wasn't. It was the women.
Okay, no. I'm just thinking about it. Just thinking about it. Okay, right.
But the thing is, in flipping that around, when I made a conscious effort for lust to no longer be my strongest. And it was almost as if I realized it without realizing it. I didn't necessarily realize that lust was my strongest thought, but I realized how much lust was holding me back. And when I had this realization, and I was like, okay, I need to replace that. And when love started becoming my strongest thought, I found this woman that I'm with. I married this woman that I'm with.
Right.
And started becoming successful at all the things that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized how much that one thought was interfering with all these other parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this quote was huge for me, because it made me look back and realize, wow, all of the stuff that I, you know, that I did, all the opportunities or the potentially missed opportunities now, which is cool, because I needed to go through what I went through in order for me to be here. So I get that. I'm cool with that. But Is my screen freezing? I'm seeing my Wi-Fi signal is weak again.
It's kind of freezing. It's freezing momentarily, but then it's catching up.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just
keep it moving.
Okay. So
the audio isn't really being interrupted either.
Okay. Good. 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 Okay. Yeah. So sorry, y'all. Anyway. like I said last week, it's our show. We do what we want. Anyway,
you know, gotta do it. Keep it moving.
So when I made that decision to make love my strongest thought, then everything in my life just started to change. Mm-hmm. I started being more fulfilled in so many different areas. There was a lot more clarity. There was a lot more focusness. Mm-hmm. I've become very goal oriented and
hold on. I'm sorry. Did you say focusness?
Yeah.
Focusness.
That's a word.
Okay.
We won't do this again. Remember, last week we did it with vilified. You want to do it with focusness too?
I think I'm gonna have to look up focusness. I see I'm in a trust but verify mindset.
Look, I understand. Go ahead. I'm comfortable. So
don't stop talking. Don't stop talking.
because that lust. Now, let me say this. Just because lust isn't the strongest thought doesn't mean that it's not a thought.
Of course. Right, right.
But it's no longer the one the thought that is leading the path. Or I had to change. I realized, you know, somebody said to me one time, sometimes before God changes your situation, he changes you.
Okay.
And I was in a situation where, or I was in plenty of situations where I was trying to, I wanted the situation to change. I was so busy trying to change the situation instead of changing me and changing my thoughts.
Okay.
I was wasting my time. I was wasting whomever's time that was around me because mm-hmm. I'm trying to change the wrong thing. I'm trying to control something that ain't for me to control.
Right.
And I had to change me. I had to change my thoughts. And once I was able to change my thoughts, as a matter of fact, a huge defining moment for me came as a result of one of the books that you told me about. Mm. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a wow, that was a long time ago.
It was 2003. No, it was, yes, it was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at a job that I absolutely hated. Mm-hmm. And I was in the midst, I was dealing with a situation that was very time consuming and mind consuming. And it was, outside, I'm trying not to go into specifics about the situation, but I was mm-hmm. in a very, very deep, dark place because of a situation that was going on. I didn't have any happiness. I didn't have any contentment anywhere.
Okay. Okay.
And I was headed to work one day. And at this point I was working with, I was working at a place where, I was starting to become hated. And the reason I was becoming hated was because there were a lot of people who I've never been one to bite my tongue.
Okay.
And I've always had an issue. I've never had an issue with authority. I have a problem with false leadership. And every time there's false leadership, I always speak up. Mm-hmm. And I always speak against it. So not only that. So that was one aspect. On the other, because I got to take accountability for my part in this too. The other mm-hmm. part was I was messing with one of the girls. I was I was working at a bank, and I was messing with one of the girls that was in the back office, and I was also in a relationship at the time. And when everything came out, and the girl that worked in the back office, she was like the heart and soul of the bank. Everybody loved this girl. So when they found out that I was already in a relationship and dealing with her, people started to feel a certain way about me. So what happened is now the entire bank, I'm talking about offices outside of my office, people just did not like me. I'll take responsibility for that, even though people were trying to get involved in something that had nothing to do with them, but whatever. Anyway, but that's not the point here. This place had become a very, very uncomfortable place to work. And one of the assistant manager at this job, she and I didn't get along at all. I don't know. She just didn't like, she came in not liking me. I have no idea why. And I told my manager at the time, I said, listen, I need you to never, ever schedule me and her together. There would be times at the job where there would only be two people. So at the very beginning in the morning and at the end, there would be two people. Now, throughout the day, other people will come. But to open and to close, there were only two people. I said, I need you to make sure that she and I are never scheduled at the same time when it's just the two of us, please. He said, no problem. This one morning I get to work, it's her. She's there. And I'm like, I told this idiot, do not schedule me with this idiot.
Right.
So I get this, and now I am pissed. So I walk up there, and now my strongest thought, anger. Right? So I get up there, I'm sitting there, and at this point, I have trained. Now, I already have an issue with this bank because I know I'm going on this long story, whatever, but it fits. I'm going to land this plane soon.
I'm looking forward to it. Go ahead.
At this particular, I had been at the bank longer than anybody. Now, I already had a bit of a chip on my shoulder because I should have been hired to be a supervisor. They didn't hire me to be a supervisor. And I was like, cool, I'll work my way up. Well, people kept coming in and they had me training everybody that came in there. I had trained the entire branch, including the manager, the assistant manager that I didn't like, and the supervisor that had the position that I really should have been hired for. I trained everybody. So now I have this chip on my shoulder. I'm sitting there one day. I'm sitting there this particular morning, and she and I, we really aren't saying anything to each other because we don't like each other. And I'm about to get up and use the bathroom. I get up to walk to the bathroom. Now, our bank was inside of Shoppers Food Warehouse, the grocery store, right? And the bathroom was all the way at the end of one of the aisles. I got up to walk out to go to the bathroom. Didn't say anything to her. She said, where are you going? I said, I'll be back. She said, where are you going? I said, I'll be back.
Right.
She said, where are you going? I said, to the bathroom. I'll be back. She said, okay, that's all. You know, I said, man, whatever. And I walked off, right? I had no idea it was a customer because I wouldn't have done that in front of a customer.
Right.
And the customer, the guy looked at me and he said, young brother, you got to let them know where you're going. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, he said, yes, you do. He said, you got to let them know where you're going. I said, no, I don't. I said, she's trying to pull rank. I said, if the other manager was here, I said, I do this all the time. I go and I come as I please. Nobody questions me. It's just because it's just me and her here. She's trying to pull rank. And he said, let me explain something to you. He said, if you get complete control over yourself first, you can control anything and everything around you. And I said, all right, man, cool. I start walking off, right? It took me about 15 seconds. That was at probably one of the lowest points of my life during that time. It took about 15 seconds. I went from one of the lowest points in my life to one of the highest points in my life because based off of what I was reading in that book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, and what that guy had just told me, I realized how much of all of this chaos that I was in the midst of, how much of this, although it wasn't my fault, was continuing because of me.
Right.
And because of my thoughts. Yeah. I turned around. I forgot I had to use the bathroom. I turned around and went right back to the dude. And I said, yo, you have no idea what you just did for me just now. And that was a defining moment for me because it changed the way I started approaching everything from that point on and realizing how much I needed to control me. And regardless of what's going on around me, I got to control me. I have to have complete control over me. And when I have control over me, then I am essentially able to control the things around me. If somebody's coming at me and they're yelling and they're getting a little too out of hand, if I match their energy, I could possibly lose control because this is not a controlled situation. You are out of control, I'm out of control. But if I keep my composure, then I may even be able to get you to calm down. I'm still in control here. But if I can't get you to calm down, well, I'm a trained fighter. So now I know what to look for and I know how to control the situation. But the point is, I haven't lost control. Even if I have to fight, even if it gets to a point where it's a hostile situation, I still have the control because I'm controlling me.
Right. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I've talked enough. Go ahead.
The thing that makes you think about, and by the way, just as far as listeners is concerned, I'm going to make reference to my father over and over again, okay? Because the guy's wisdom is amazing. I call him Yoda Pop, okay? So Yoda, but one,
like Soda Pop, but those of you will always miss that. By the way, since we're talking about plays on words, for those of you all who don't understand or who may have missed quotes and mirrors, when Terry came, well, when Uncommentary came up with the term quotes and mirrors, it's a play off of smoke and mirrors.
Right. But there is no deception going on here.
right. Yeah, we're completely transparent. There you go.
Right. But one of the things that Pop said to me was when I was young, he said, everything that you do affects everybody around you.
Right.
And so when I look at this, the interesting thing, when I look at this quote, I really break it down because it says your life. Right. But when you think about life, you're not talking about just the individual. Right. Because of the fact that everything you do affects everybody around you. So I'm a leader because I'm a father and I'm a husband. I'm in a position to lead. The decisions that I make, when the direction that I move, they got to go with me. Right. One time my wife said to me, plain and simple, this family will move in the direction that you take us. She wasn't discounting or tossing away her own ambition. Instead, she was recognizing you're in a position of leadership. Handle your business, homie. You know what I mean? But when I look at this,
all this,
you know what I'm saying? So you look at this quote and it says your life, but your life just includes so much more than just you. And then it says that it will always move. So even if you feel like you're stagnated, right? Even if you feel like you're stuck, life is going on. Time is not going to stop. Now you're just moving in that static state. You know what I'm saying? So you're not growing, you're not evolving, but you can't help but move because time is not going to stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then when you think about the direction of your strongest thought, I think very literal on that, on whether or not my strongest thought is positive or negative, whether it's going to push me up or whether it's going to push me down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I really like, and then when you think about your strongest thought, the strongest thought can't be but one. It may be a bit of an umbrella. But it's only one thing that is the strongest. You know what I mean? Just if you reach the highest point of a situation, there's only one point that's the highest of that particular thing. Only one point. So you really have to hone in and figure out what exactly is my strongest thought. And is it taking me up or is it taking me down? Because as I am always moving, I'm taking everything within my life with me.
Right.
So it completely blows my mind and it makes you really pay attention and really think about, okay, all right, I can't just think about what my strongest thought happens to be. I have to decide what my strongest thought is going to be. So where do I want to go? Where do I want to take us? Right. And then what happens when I get there? You know, and one thing that I used to tell my son, you have to think beyond what you can reach. And this was in a situation where he was 14 years old. He's talking about he wanted to drink. Okay, what's going to happen after you grab that bottle of beer? That's what you need to think about. Not just can I get it? What happens after you get it? Mm-hmm. You know, and so it really it's like, and then you like when you think about your strongest thought. Is it consistent day to day, or is it going to be a dynamic situation where it's going to change. And so now I'm like, you know, it's interesting because you have to add a consciousness to what up until this point has been an unconscious or a subconscious situation. So when you think, imagine being told, Tara, tomorrow you're going to die if you stop thinking about breathing. You know what I mean? Up until this point, it's been subconscious. You breathe, God just gave you that. But imagine if you had to do everything that you do. And I'm using you as an example on purpose, because you do this and 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 this. I ain't got no shoes on, so I can keep going. And I can still be talking about what you do, right? I can still be talking about the things that you do. Imagine if you had to think. Inhale, exhale, all day while you did those things. And to me, that's kind of what it opens up. I'm thankful, to God be the glory, that that's not the case. Right. But that's what it opens up. And so, like me, I got 6 kids. I've always wanted a big family, right? But I never thought about all of the different ways to think that this can take me. I never thought about, my strongest thought was I want a lot of children. So I have a lot of children, right?
Right.
But it wasn't until maybe a year or two ago, and my oldest son is 25. For those of y'all that don't know, I got 25, 24, 21, 11, 9, and 7. All right. I know that sounded like a story problem, but what but it wasn't until maybe a year or two ago that I realized that they all need to have their own lane. Mm-hmm. I felt like I'm their daddy. I can tell you the same thing that I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you. Not thinking about that, though I'm saying the same thing, I'm not saying it to the same person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I can't expect the same result.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But my strongest thought was, I want to be a father, and I want to have a lot of children. Mm-hmm. So I achieved that. But you got to think, like, you really got to think when you decide on your strongest thought, what exactly comes with that?
Right.
You know what I mean? What comes with that, man? Because it is just crazy. Like, for instance, you with the, between the acting and the stocks and the writing the articles and the physical fitness and the I can go on. I already said that. What exactly is your strongest thought as you achieve these things? Do you have, because right now, because you have the knowledge of your strongest thought basically dictating your life, do you have a strongest thought in each lane? Or is there an ultimate strongest thought that causes you to move into each lane? That's not a general question.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, that's why I started talking immediately.
Okay.
So it is, I have an ultimate thought.
Okay.
But I have a collection of smaller thoughts that equal this ultimate thought. Now, and the reason I say that is because, you know, what's ironic is you're naming, you're listing these things that I did, and you didn't say podcasting. But
I felt like that went without saying.
Oh, okay. Course,
right. I guess a podcast can't really go without saying. Don't take me down that path. Go ahead. Go ahead. So,
but the my ultimate thought is success, and I have my personal definition of success. And no need to get into all of that, but when I say that there are other that's the ultimate thought, but when I tell you that there are other thoughts, I have a thought for the podcast, I have a thought for acting, I have a thought for my writing, but I want to achieve that ultimate level of success. And I understand that it may take one of these things to catch fire in order for the other ones to work. So this up here is the ultimate success, right?
Okay.
And I have this well, the ultimate thought, should I say. Mm-hmm. And I have these thoughts for each and every one of these things that I'm doing. But mm-hmm. if this one catches fire and this one works, then what that means is, okay, this is working. And now we're coming here to this thought. But that also means that everything else comes with it.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot of cross promoting. For instance, okay. let's say that I write a book and it becomes a New York Times bestseller, and I'm traveling and doing all of these interviews. Mm-hmm. And in the interview, they're talking to me about, so at that point, yeah, I reached this level of success, this, you know, where my, that thought led me to that, or my thoughts have led me to that ultimate level of success when it comes mm-hmm. to that. But I'm not done. Mm-hmm. There's more that needs to be done. So when they're interviewing me and they're asking me about the book, I'm going to find a reason to bring in Quotes and Mary's podcast.
Understood.
Because there are other things I haven't reached that ultimate level yet.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is up there. So that's why I say, yes, there is this ultimate thought.
Right.
You know, at the top. But then there are other smaller ones that need to all come together in order for me to reach that.
Yeah. And so I asked the question to honestly kind of, because I knew you were going to illustrate what my next thought was, which is that that you have to think about what your strongest thought is going to be, because your strongest thought is not your only thought.
Right.
And so as you have these different lanes, you can feel strongly and think strongly about them, but you really have to think about what the strongest thought, what is it going to be? Where am I trying to go? Because the other thoughts can't contradict progress mm-hmm, towards right. that, towards that strongest thought. And so then I start to think, like, how specific can you really be with your strongest thought? And when I think about my strongest thought, can I also think about, okay, my strongest thought for today, what is the thing that I want to achieve today? And then does that feed what I overall want to achieve?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that makes it day-to-day work. You know, when you think about okay, what I'm going to go throughout the day, I don't know. I don't know if my children are going to act up. I don't know if I'm going to get in a car accident. But you know, and I don't mean to be negative, but what I'm saying is there's things that are beyond your control
right.
that even should they come into play, you still have to be focused on your strongest, like your strongest thought cannot be diminished by these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even right. then, when you think about your strongest thought, is it strongest as in my most powerful thought, or is it in my most all-encompassing thought? Because they're not necessarily the same thing. You know what I mean? Because my ultimate thought can be just staying on top of things. My ultimate thought can be, I need to make sure that I'm aware of everything that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. But an all-encompassing thought can actually be the direct opposite. It could be fear of not being aware.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in a situation where, hold on a second, the most powerful, meaning the most effective, what's going to bring the greatest outcome mm-hmm. is that I stay on top of things, but the all-encompassing thought is the fear that I may not. And so now, which one is actually going to be out on the forefront? Is my fear right. going to lead me? Or is the importance or the value of this achievement going to lead me? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just one of those, man, I feel like I have to remind myself. I would have to, like, I don't feel like I can read this quote and think about what my strongest thought is and just pin it up on the shelf. You know, like on the iPhone, when you got your text messages, and you can choose one to pin. Right. And so that's what, like, my wife's, you know, her text, the line of messages between she and I pin it at the top, so I don't have to go searching through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so as a result of that, which, by the way, I think is actually quite the specific, I mean, the perfect metaphor, she is my strongest thought when it comes to those text messages. The most important information that I need when I go into my text is going to come from my wife. Mm-hmm. So I pin her. So when I go through, her message is going to be the first one that I see. Everything else is subsequent to that. Right. And so actually, as I'm talking, I'm like, wow, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to decide on what that strongest thought is, why that strongest thought is that strongest thought, and I need to pin it so that everything else comes subsequent and is not diminished. Because when that, even this is the crazy thing about that particular metaphor, when I go to look at my text message, even if I don't have a message from her, the fact that I haven't missed a message from her is still more important than any message that I still have to look at. You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what else happens, that strongest thought cannot be diminished. It has to be, it has to stay. You know, if you want it to go, if you want to go, you know, because you want to go in that direction, that strongest thought has to stay there. Because again, also, along the lines of the same metaphor, as I answer those other text messages, if I go to answer those other text messages and I see and I don't answer something from her, this ain't about being afraid of your wife, fellas. This is about valuing your wife and understand that this is your life partner and you're making decisions alongside her. So if you miss some information from her, there's a greater consequence than there is if I miss some information just from one of my boys. You know what I'm saying? And so it has to stay, you know, so I haven't, and I'll be honest with you right now, I can't say that I've decided what my strongest thought is going to be. You know what I mean? I need to determine. I'm 46. I'll be 47 at the end of the month. You know what my strongest thought has been up until now? Why am I not further than I am? And whatever else I do, why am I not further than I am? And I say it's my strongest thought because it is my most frequent thought. And it is the thought that determines the moves I make or don't make. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about earlier, I definitely would have to reverse engineer it. I don't like the fact that I didn't decide on what my strongest thought is going to be and then move in that direction. But rather, I'm looking at where I am now, and all I can think is, why haven't I got further? Has to be the reason that I'm not where I'm at, because I've been focusing on that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know,
when you were talking about the, you know, something having to be your strongest thought, regardless of the things that are going on around you. Or just regardless of what a circumstance may be, it took me, immediately made me think about Michael Jordan's flu game, which people say that he, okay, you're not familiar with the flu game?
Nope, not at all.
I can tell by the look on your face. Okay, so Jordan had the flu. Now, some people say it wasn't the flu, they said he had a hangover, but whatever. Anyway, but they call it the flu game because apparently he had food poisoning. He had some food the night before, and he went in and they were playing the Jazz, and he was like, he threw up, I believe, before the game. There were times, you know, they were panning over to the bench, and he's on the side, and he, like, I think there's this one where Scottie Pippen has his arms around him, and I believe he has a towel on his head, something like, I can't remember, but you can tell he is obviously just sick. Like, and then, you know, he go into the game, then he come out, then he's on the bench, like, just, he's just feeling horribly. It's apparent, right? Jordan scored 38 points in that game, including a 3-point buzzer beater at the end. I think it was a buzzer beater, but the 3-point, well, to win the game at the end, he hit his 3-point shot to win the game. Right, he played 44 minutes. Right, Jordan, as you were saying that, I pulled up this quote. Jordan said, "I didn't want to give up. no matter how sick I was or how tired I was or how low on energy I was, I felt the obligation to my team, to the city of Chicago, to go out and give that extra effort. Mm-hmm. That was his strongest thought, regardless of what was going on, regardless of whether or not it was the flu or a hangover or food poisoning or whatever it was. His strongest thought was still to go out there and to win that game. Now, what that also tells me is that your strongest thought becomes part of the reason, if not the reason, for your greatness. See, the way I look at greatness is, I look at greatness as being confronted with it, with an obstacle, and then overcoming that obstacle. Mm-hmm. Jordan is good. He's really, really good if you give him a basketball and you don't put anybody in front of him. Mm-hmm. Really, really good, right? And anybody who's really, really good at basketball is really, really good. And only thing that you can see, you can watch them dribble that ball and shoot that ball and do all these things. And you'll be like, yo, you're really, really good. Mm-hmm. But you haven't given me a reason to say that you're great.
Okay.
Put somebody in front of him that is also great, or somebody in front of him who is really, really good. Present an obstacle. Mm-hmm. And when they still become successful, okay, now we have transcended into greatness. Mm-hmm. We have crossed that, you know. But so that strongest thought tells me that it doesn't matter who's in front of me or what's in front of me or whatever the circumstance is, I am still going to become successful. My ultimate thought is success, regardless of what's going on. David and Goliath, you can bring your Goliaths to me. Cool. No problem. Mm-hmm. If somebody was to say, yo, this huge dude is coming, you know, to fight you, and what's your weapon of choice? A slingshot? Oh, this idiot. A slingshot? That's your strongest weapon? Well, that's the strongest weapon that you see. But you want to know my real strongest weapon is my strongest thought. And my strongest thought is to win the fight. That's my strongest weapon. But that wasn't the question you were asking me. You wanted to know what weapon was I going to use in this fight. But if you really want to know the real answer to this, my strongest weapon is my strongest thought, which is to win this fight. So,
interesting. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, when you use the example of David and Goliath, I believe that his strongest thought was his faith, right? The weapon didn't matter. The weapon didn't matter, and an obstacle in front of him didn't matter. Right. And so, but you know, it's interesting when you think about, because when I think greatness is can be a degree of achievement. It can be a degree of difficulty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you think about the strongest thought deciding your greatness, it can be an abundance of a situation to say you have a great amount of such and such. It is kind of interesting when, because again, just in reference to me having my children, people always ask me, or people say, man, how in the world you afford 6 kids? Well, I say, God ain't gonna give me a seed that I can't feed. In reference to my children, that is my strongest thought. So however I end up having to maneuver, and when you say it determines your greatness, my greatness is still, there's a great deal of difficulty, because as I told you, I now got to learn how to maneuver in 6 different lanes. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that don't know exactly what's going on with me, I also got to realize the greatness is the difficulty in it. My son is in Philly. Got another son and another daughter in Tennessee. You know what I mean? I got 3 in the house. I got 1 here that lives local. So it's going on the cut. So the difficulty of being able to stretch out and tend to these things is great. You know what I mean? But and when I say feed, it's not just a financial situation, because your children need to be fed financially, emotionally, spiritually, socially. You know what I'm saying? So. But,
and it shows, and that shows how much of a great father you are, for them to be spread out, to have 6, even if they were all in the same household. That's still, to some people, that can look, I mean, if we want to be completely honest about the situation, that can be an obstacle. You got six different kids. You got six different personalities. That means you can't raise this one the way you raise this one. And you can't raise that one the way you raise that. Like, you have different, and then you have them coming up in different times.
Yeah.
These are all obstacles, but you still do it, and you do it at an incredible level. And that just shows how much of a great father you are. And it started with that strongest thought that you are. That you
have. Well, that's the thing that now, I guess, as we're talking about it, and thank you very much, by the way, but I'm, because to God be the glory. He keep giving me the victory. I'm going to keep giving him the glory. Trust that.
So you keep giving us the kids. He going to have to keep giving us.
But man, but I'm just, you know, my strongest thought is that he's not going to give me a seed that I cannot feed in every way that they need to be fed. Right. And so that's what would allow me to achieve that. And so, I'm thankful for this quote because it definitely makes me look at things in a different, in a much different way, in the way that the importance of my thought management, as we talked about a little bit earlier, but the consistency, you know, people, because you know, you see some people that promote on social media every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know that is so crazy. I tried it. I went 5 days, and after 5 days, I was like, yo, I don't think I can do this.
Me neither. I hate it.
I don't think I can do this
anyway.
But yeah. But you know what though? Because my strongest thought was this is hard work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you see cats that do it every day and they make it look easy because their strongest thought is this is what I have to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm thankful to Pastor Groeschel for this quote. Because it is just, it's amazing, and I think it's a mantra, excuse me, that can be added to, you know, what I tell myself as I get up in the morning. And I think it's a very positive thing for you to decide what your strongest thought is going to be. When I was doing those videos, I was promoting, and I still think now, and actually I may get back to that, be honest with you, but in my mind, your strongest thought should be do something for you. Mm-hmm. Even as I said it, I felt empowered. You know what I mean? I talked to my sister a few days after I had done the videos, and she's like, I'm at the point where when you get to the end of your video, I'm saying it with you. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm saying it, and I talked to Chef, and Chef was like, you know, he hit me with a text when I didn't do the video. He shot me a text that said, "Get up, give thanks, do something for you." And I'm just like, yo, that's crazy, because your strongest thought can honestly feed somebody else's.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So that's why it's just so important to really be aware of what it is. And understand why it is, because it's just the impact is just amazing. And you know, when I think about us, I hadn't thought about it until this quote, but because everybody wants to be successful, right?
Right.
But that ain't always their strongest thought.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But your strongest thought is success, however it's going to come about over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And so I think about that. I'm like, man, because, you know, before, you know, I'd be joking about you all the time showing off. But that's just me making fun of the fact that you manifest your strongest thought over and over again. When you decide that you're going to do something,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I'm trying to adopt that. And this, and also, you know, we talked about before. Well, I'm sure we did talk about before about making a decision is the most powerful thing you can do.
Right. Yep.
And so in this situation.
Again, another gem from your father.
Right. 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 You know, shout out Yoda Pop. We had to get him on the show. The show might be a little bit longer though. When we get
a little bit.
but in
that, that's going to be the Roots edition.
Right, the mini series.
Yeah. But yo,
But I'm just saying, in you have to decide what your strongest thought is going to be. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, and people don't do it. They find out what their strongest thought was. I definitely found out what it was, but I didn't decide what it was going to be. And that's what this quote has done for me. It has made me understand that I need to decide what it's going to be so that my life can move in the direction of it.
Right. Yeah. You know, I have with every episode that we've done and every episode of my other podcasts, even went back when I was doing radio, but we had visuals. Even when I was doing the radio show, I didn't have any visuals. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've always had with me is Vaseline lip therapy. Now, I'm not big on putting brands out there because no free promo, nothing like right. that, right?
Right.
And then I use it periodically as we're doing the show. I'm always mm-hmm. using it, right? Which is that's just me anyway. It's not just on camera. It's just period, right?
Gotcha.
My strongest thought is not necessarily now for my lips to not be jacked. My strongest thought is to get some sort of deal with Vaseline lip therapy.
But, yeah. Right. But you know what? You know what? This is going to make me do, though. This is, you know, just in reference to my children. It's going to make me start asking my children, what is your strongest thought? Mm-hmm. You know, or in any given situation, what was your strongest thought? So I'm going to have to explain to them what that means. But that is a question that I'm going to ask them over and over again. I don't know if you remember the set of questions I used to ask Cheeky and Trey. Well, for the listeners, that's my son and daughter. But I used to ask them when I would drop them, you know, off when I had to go back and forth to Philly. Mm-hmm. And I would say to him, you know, what are you the best at? Who loves you first? Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, certain questions. And this is definitely going to be a question that I'm going to ask them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not to the point where their strongest thought is, I wish he would stop asking me this question. But this is a blessing that's going to continue to be a blessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that being said, I'm looking at the time, looking like we're going on long enough. I think that we both had an equal amount of rants where we were able to get out what our thoughts actually were. And we welcome, you know, any comments, any questions as far as listeners, once you take a look at this or take a listen to this. Yeah, let us know. I'm curious to know what the strongest thoughts are and what's motivating your strongest thoughts and just how you feel about the existence of one, how you come about it, that type of thing. I think this was a dope quote. Again, shout out Pastor Groeschel. And I think this was a dope episode.
Yeah, and hey, Groeschel, if you're listening, man, you can come be a part of the show too.
Oh, yeah. Word up. Yeah.
And if you ain't listening, then my strongest thought right now is for you to listen to the show.
Are you weaponizing the words of the man of God? I don't know, maybe because, you know, there's a difference. You know, you can hold a hammer in your hand, and in one perspective it's a tool, and another perspective it's a weapon.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so we're gonna call this.
Well, it depends on whether or not he responds as to which one it is.
Well, you know what we do. You know what you do, right?
What
is when we post this, we tag him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. We tag him and then see what's happening.
Yeah, and then with the caption, what you want me to do with this hammer?
Well, I don't think he's gonna get the hammer reference right off the bat.
Right, that's why that was a joke.
Okay. All right, man. You want to go ahead and close this out?
Yeah, man. So again, we just want to thank you all for joining us, and thank you for your time. Thank you for your open-mindedness. Oh, focusness. You looked it up.
I did look up focusness, and it did say that it was a word, kind of, sort of, somewhat, little bit, not much.
Exactly. So we also want to thank you for your focusness. So
yeah, that was a okay. Well, yeah, it was a word. The internet said it, so it got to be true.
Right. Yep. It's on the internet. All right, y'all. Well, we thank you again. And on that note, and I quote, peace out.
Peace. All right.